for Brother Luke's been blessed with a wonderful gift to preach, and I've been blessed by his preaching this morning. I trust you have as well. Thank the Lord for it, and ask that you pray for us for a few moments this morning as we endeavor to speak from the Lord's Word. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to Psalm 46. Last Sunday, as we were closing, we were in Isaiah 55, verse 1. We said, come ye to the waters. And I said it would take me another hour to get into that. And Brother Doug told me he was glad that I didn't get into it. And that if I did, it still need to be less than an hour. I'm going to try and get into it. And I definitely don't have an hour, but we'll go as we see the Lord bless us. But here in Psalm 46, verse 4, it says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In this verse, he tells us about a river. And he doesn't say it in the past tense, or there will be a river. He says right now there is a river. There is a river, and this river has streams that make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, I would suppose everyone in here lives in the country like we do. Not in the city. There may be a few. But Jenny and I have determined that we like visiting the city. We just wouldn't want to live there. Cities have a lot of fun activities and things to do and sights to see, but living there is just different. But one thing you'll notice about a city, if you go and visit, is most of them have a major water source right there by them. When we lived up in Ohio, Cincinnati had the Ohio River ran by it. Pittsburgh had three rivers meeting right there at it. And, of course, we could go on and on with many other cities that have rivers or some major water source nearby. But here in this verse, we're talking about the city of God, God's city. And he says in God's city that there is a river. And the streams of that river make glad the city of God. There's joy that comes to God's city as a result of this river. And, you know, as you turn with me to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, I find it very helpful and very interesting to see where does a river come from? Every river, that we have, it starts somewhere. I remember a few years back, we went up to Minnesota and we saw the headwaters of the Mississippi River. Now, I'll tell you, that was something. The big, mighty Mississippi that we have running through here, great source of economy as well as water and good fishing that goes by here. We saw where that river started up there in Minnesota. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the river that flows through the city of God, let's look at where it begins here in Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here's the start of this river. In fact, in Jeremiah 2:13, God describes himself this way as the fountain of living waters. He's the start. He is the source. And what comes out of the throne of God and of the Lamb is a pure water, pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see the start of this river. You see where it comes from. The headwaters, the fountain of living water comes down from the throne of God. Now turn me to Isaiah 33 And let's look at this city very quickly in Isaiah 33. He said the city of God, God's city, not just any old city. We're talking about God's city. And I'm going to give you a name for that city. And that name is Zion. Notice here in Isaiah 33, verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. I'm thankful to tell you tonight, or this morning, it's not yet, this morning, that God's city is in no danger of being taken down or destroyed. There's no danger of a stake being removed or anything being broken in God's city. It says in verse 21, but there in this city, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Now, I want to point out to you that not only is the start of this river the throne of God, God Himself, but I'm going to submit for your consideration this morning that the river itself, the water, is also God. You know, we, as pilgrims and strangers walking around this wilderness, we get thirsty. Thirsty in a spiritual sense. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord can quench that thirst. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Himself is the quench for that thirst. As thirst the hearts for water brook. This is Psalm 42. So thirst my soul, O God, for what? For Thee. God is not only the one who quenches your... He's not only the source of the fountain of living waters. He is the very thing that will quench your thirst. The Lord Himself, the glorious Lord, will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. If you go out to the Mississippi River, you'll see tugboats and these big ships. You know, back in the day, before they had steam engines and all these other things, they would actually have a big old ship that had all these oars out there rowing them. You know who was paddling those oars? Slaves were. But men were just rowing and rowing. You're not going to find that in this river. You're not going to find the works of men here. Getting the ships down the river. You're not going to find the works of men here. Notice you also won't see a gallant ship pass thereby. Brother Luke said, not unto us, not unto us. The glory and the grandeur. You know, you build a big ship like the Titanic. That just swells people up with pride. Oh, look at this that we have built. Oh, look at this big ship. And you know, this statement was actually said about that, about the Titanic. Even God can't sink her. Huh. Now, God's not mocked. Don't be saying things like that. You know, anyway. But here in the Lord's city, you don't find that. You don't find that because the Lord, verse 22, notice what the Lord is. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Not the works of your own hands. I tell you, this city and this river is awfully sweet. If you turn with me to John chapter 7. That's the first thing. Here in the city of God, we see a river that makes glad the inhabitants. I'm going to tell you, our source of joy should not be in our circumstances. It should be in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and do that all the time. You should never stop rejoicing in the Lord. The Lord is the source of our joy. In fact, we are the circumcision, as he says, Philippians 3, verse 3, who worship the Lord in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 7, Jesus makes this statement, verse 37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, it's very important that we know where to find a place for our thirst to be quenched. You know, and if we go back to Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come and let him drink the water of life freely. Come to the city of God and drink if you're thirsty. Now notice verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen to this very interesting language here in verse 38. He says, he that believeth on me, what's going to happen? Well, it says, out of his own belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that an interesting statement? Out of his own belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, I like to combine this verse with what Jesus tells the Samaritan at the well in John chapter 4, where he says, anyone, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give, it shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. You know, Jesus declares, you know, we're talking about rivers. There's more underground rivers than there are on the surface. There's more rivers underneath the ground than there are on the surface. And I'm going to tell you, this text tells us that those that believe on Jesus, out of their own belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, that could be under the surface. Lord's put this well inside of you that goes down into this river that we don't see. It's not a river that we go and stand on the seashore and see necessarily. But what a blessing when it comes to the surface. What a blessing when it comes to the surface. See, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, let's try to understand what he's saying. Notice verse 39 in parentheses. He says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, there is something that we have today that they didn't yet have at that time. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a little envious of what they did have, and that was walking and talking with Jesus. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and done that? I'm a little envious of that. But what they did not have is what we have right now. And that was the Holy Ghost that came down. And he came down with such great power on the day of Pentecost. Such great power was on display when every man heard out of their own language. And oh, they received the word gladly, and they ate and they drank and they enjoyed one another's company and fellowship when the Holy Ghost came on the scene. I'm going to tell you, it's still that way today. You know what you and I stand in need of here in the house of God and in our life is the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, everything changes. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, the river is passing through. Holy Ghost, the Lord Himself, is that river. And I'm going to tell you, when you are born again, as Brother Luke was pointing out to us, you now have two natures. Oh, but what a blessing when that divine nature flows out of you, flows out of your belly. Oh, what a blessing when God's people and the wonderful fellowship we have, that river just comes out of them. Oh, that's what we have here in the church. That's what we have when we meet together. People say, well, I can worship the Lord at home. I'm going to tell you, you'll be missing something. You won't be able to see the river flowing out from everyone's belly. Oh, the wonderful words that you say, the wonderful things that you do. Oh, it's a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't come to church, we have missed out on getting to partake in that river flowing out of you. You know, we have lunch here today, and I would encourage all of you to stay and eat. You say, well, I didn't bring any food. It don't matter. I was in there earlier. There is plenty. You didn't bring any. Don't worry about it. We just want you, not your food necessarily. I enjoy the food. There's some good eating in there. But we want you, you understand. We want to talk to you, want to visit with you, want to spend time with you. We want to drink from the river that God has placed inside of you. We want to get into that. In Ezekiel chapter 47, so that's two things. First thing is, God is the river here in this city. But God has placed that river inside of you. That's the second thing. And we have something else here, as we see here in Ezekiel 47. And that's why we ask for prayers when we come here to the house of God. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered up. The one publicly, our brother Danny, and all those that were prayed silently. But in Ezekiel 47, we have a description of a house. And without reading all these verses, he comes to this house And there's some water that starts flowing out from under the door. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're a homeowner and this ever happens to you, you've got problems. If you have water coming out from the door of your house, oh, no. I hate plumbing. I can never get that water to stop dripping. But anyway, there's water coming out from the door of the house. But this is a good thing. This water is flowing out from the house, out into the wilderness. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is a great blessing when the church of God and the people in the church and the blessing of the Holy Ghost that we experience this place, it goes out in the community, out where you work, out in whoever you interact with. What a blessing when it goes out. In Song of Solomon chapter 4, he talks about the garden and the spices thereof and the wind blowing and then flowing out the spices thereof. Oh, what a blessing when the house of God and the things that happened here flow out. But he went out and he measured these waters. And he said, the waters, this is in verse 3, came up to the ankles. Well, that's interesting. He measures a little bit further. And in verse 4, he says, the waters were up to the loins. It's getting higher. And then he measures another 1,000, verse 5. And the waters were so deep that they had to swim in them. Now, I remember hearing, I didn't hear this sermon, but I heard someone describing the sermon, where someone came to these verses and described church meetings. Sometimes you go to church and the water's to the ankles. It's there. It's a blessing, but it's not real high. But sometimes you come to church and it's such a blessing. And I'll never forget this one particular preacher saying, oh, yeah, I'm out there doing the backstroke in that water. And I just couldn't get the image out of my head, him actually trying to backstroke in some water. But anyway, what a blessing when the Lord blesses the service. And that water is flowing in such an abundant display. Why does the psalmist say in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over? You need to get a bigger cup. You need to get a bigger vessel to try to contain and capture all this water. Well, he goes on and says, verse 8, well, verse 7. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. You remember Revelation 22 when he talked about the tree on one side and one on the other? I'm going to tell you, if you want to be fruitful, you know where you set down your roots. You need to set them right down next to this river if you want to be fruitful. I think about that text in Psalm 1 where he says, he that meditates on God's law day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the river. And in Jeremiah 17 says he won't face the heat, he won't face the cold because he's right there by the river. If you want to be fruitful, if you want to be blessed, you set down roots right here by the river in the city of God. Verse 8, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert, go into the sea, which being brought forth in the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass, verse 9, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Wherever that water goes, wherever that Holy Ghost comes, when he comes on the scene, not only does he provide life, but he provides revival of life. I'm going to tell you what we need. Is the Holy Ghost coming on the scene? We need the life-giving substance of this water in this river. That's what we need. You say, well, it's just feeling dead around here. Well, we need the Holy Ghost in that times of refreshing when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene. That's what we need. He talks about the fish. Oh, here we go again. I wish I had some time to get into this fish, because the next verse he talks about in Gedi and in Eglaim, and there's a whole another sermon on that. Won't get in that today. But suffice it to say, you can't go and fish until the water comes first. We have this great blessing and this great command of the Lord to be a fisher of men, but you can't go fishing until the water comes first. Imagine coming to a dry riverbed and thinking you're going to catch any fish there. No, the water has to come first. The Lord has to come on the scene before you'll ever be successful at that. Before you'll ever be able to do what He's called on us to do. I'll tell you, this river makes glad the inhabitants the city of God. I'm glad to tell you this morning that you don't have to come to this place and leave here thirsty. Now, if you leave here thirsty, then we missed out on a blessing. We failed to have the Holy Ghost on the scene. Now, I've been to some services that are cold and they're just dark and just not really much there. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, oh, it makes all the difference in the world, because the Lord Himself is that water. The Lord's placed that river inside of you. And oh, when that gospel is preached, there is a water that is coming. And what a blessing it is when it's so deep, you've got to swim to get across it. And may the Lord bless our services in such a way. I thank you for your good attention this morning.